would, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 2. We'll be flipping back and forth there several times, so if you have a marker, it might be helpful to mark it. I am very thankful for the opportunity to present a few thoughts tonight. Of course, I'm very thankful for Shane, who has studied with me several times and has helped me focus some of my thoughts. And really, I'm thankful for all of y'all for being very patient as you allow some of the younger people to present some thoughts and gather some thoughts, many of whom are doing so for the first time. You guys are always very encouraging and I think help us grow as Christians and ultimately in the knowledge of Christ. By now, hopefully you are aware of our theme this year, which is building up with an emphasis mostly on spiritual things, of course, with the backdrop of our physical building that we're building across the street. And I'd like to read a passage that's somewhat of our theme. We've talked about it before. It's in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. It says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." And that is our mission and goal. And what I want to do tonight is to talk about a couple groups of people that have failed in that mission. And I want to talk about them in the context of this chapter in Colossians, and hopefully we can apply it to our lives. I think we can all agree that this life is difficult at times. Our adversary, the devil, is constantly trying to cause us to have wrong attitudes, make wrong decisions. So as we talk tonight about a couple of things, I'd like for us to examine ourselves and reflect, like I have while studying for this, and see if we struggle with some of the same things that those in the Bible struggled with. And the first people I want to talk about is the Israelites. Now, if you're like me, whenever I study the nation of Israel, whenever I go into detail about their history and the decisions they made, I can't think about how dumb some of those decisions are. But if you read these stories carefully and reflect, I think we can all agree that we make those same decisions today and we have those same attitudes. And I boiled the Israelites. Now, I could have made you turn to thousands of passages and talk about wrong decision after wrong decision. But I boiled the fundamental reason why they failed to keep this vision like it was in Colossians, to they forget what God has done for them. They forget what God has done for them. If you would, turn to Exodus chapter 16. I think most of us remember the events surrounding the Exodus, but just to remind you a couple details, they are in an oppression and slavery from the Egyptians. You might remember that they were growing in number, so Pharaoh made a decree that all the male children would be slaughtered so they would not rise up against the Egyptians. So obviously this is such a terrible time for the nation of Israel. And just to abbreviate the Exodus, God showed the Israelites his great power through the plagues. He destroyed the entire Egyptian army through parting of Red Seas. And right after he delivered them, they forgot all of that and grumbled against him. In chapter 16, verse 2, it says, "The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, 'Would that we have died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" They completely forgot the power that God had and what he had done. And of course, you might remember that he provided manna for them. And almost immediately after, I'm just going to go ahead and read Numbers 11, verse 4. It says, "The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks." A leek is a mild onion, just to let you know. "And the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing to look at except this manna." Their attitude was, as comical as it seems, "Look how good we had it in Egypt. when we were oppressed and enslaved and they were slaughtering innocent human life. It's just crazy to me. And it kind of reminds me of a story of my brother Reese. Poor Reese. Reese was notorious when he was a little kid to say the most ridiculous things when he was upset. So much so that we remember a couple of those and we tease him every now and then. And one particular time, my mom asked him to do a simple chore. And Reese did not do that chore. And so my mom gave him some sort of punishment. I think it was in the form of grounding him. I'm not totally sure. And Reese, very upset on the way up the stairs, said, "Why do I have to do that? I do everything for you, and you do nothing for me." I promise, Reese, he was young. He probably was only 17 or 18 years old at the time. he was about 4 or 5, hopefully, at the time. I can't remember. But this, at that moment in Reese's life, he completely forgot about the million things that my mom had done for him. And the Israelites, as childish as that example is, they share that same exact attitude about forgetting. And for Israel's history, this constant attitude of forgetfulness had some very dire consequences. One of which, and there's many, I'm going to go ahead and skip a long period of Israel's history, is in 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings 22. I just skipped all the way up to where they have a king, and this king is Josiah. And he is reigning over Judah. Now, let me remind you about the old law for a second, because it's a little different than what we don't, you know, do the same rituals as the old law. They had very specific sacrifices. They had very specific rituals. They even had very specific holidays. And all of that was directly tied into their relationship with God. And all of that culminates in 2 Kings 22, starting in verse 8. It says, "Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.' And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought back word to the king and said, 'Your servants had emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have oversight of the house of the Lord.' Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, 'Hilkiah the priest has given me a book.' And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes." At this point in their history, they completely neglected and forgot about the entire book of the law. They didn't even know, a king over Israel didn't even know it existed. After all God had done for them, he had taken them into the land of Canaan. He won great battles for them. He showed who he was. Yet that constant attitude of forgetfulness led to them neglecting the entire law. I want to shift back to Colossians 2 and make a point in regards to us today. In Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 13, it says, "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." What I just read is what Jesus has done for us. And one point we can make to be applicable to us is how often we forget what Jesus has done for us. How often do we think back, like the Egyptians thought back to their lives in Egypt and deceived themselves into thinking that that was much better than we had today? How often do we think back to our lives of sin before Christ came into our lives and thinking we had it better? Just a couple quick examples. Do we grumble like the Israelites during things revolving around the service to our King Christ? Do we forget that Christ has forgiven us of our sins and refuse to forgive others? I want you just to take a moment to reflect on your life and maybe think, I've forgotten some aspect of this. And there are so many different examples I can use. And if we've fallen in that trap, we need to remember what Christ has done for us. One other group I want to talk about before we close, who, going back to Colossians 2, failed to firmly root in faith, was the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were the religious leaders at their time. Okay, they knew the law inside and out. They were very knowledgeable. And everybody knew that. Yet surprisingly, Jesus rebukes them more than any, by far, more than any other group of people. And I think their problem is they didn't forget what the law was because they remembered the law. But their problem was they put the emphasis of the law on themselves rather than on God. They wanted to show the world and people around them that it was their great works they were doing and not to the glory of God. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And the Pharisees did great works, but it was not for the glory of God, because the very next chapter you see Jesus' rebuke to them in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to skip around through a couple verses in Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that it may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." Skipping to verse 5, it says, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." Finally, in verse 16, it says, "Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when you are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." Every single work that they did, and I know it doesn't directly mention the Pharisees in this passage, but if you have read Matthew 23, you know exactly who they're talking about, because the entire chapter of Matthew 23 is a scathing review of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Every single thing they did was not rooted in faith in Christ. It was to be noticed by others. And this attitude also leads to something with dire consequences. In this case, it leads to an attitude of pride and confidence in oneself rather than the humbleness in what God has done for us. And I think this is illustrated in Luke chapter 18, where Jesus is giving a parable to the Pharisees. This is about a Pharisee and a tax collector. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9, it says, "And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than others. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" How often do we put our trust in ourselves, the emphasis on the works that we do for the glory of ourselves, and become prideful? I'll be honest, I think that this is really common, or one of the most common temptations for those who have grown up in Christian homes, because they've grown up and they're not like these people who come in and who've lived a wrong life up until however age they started to follow Christ. Or we might know a lot about the Bible, and so we look at other Christians or other congregations and the way that they do things at their congregations as if we've got it all figured out. So my thing to you is, be careful. Don't have the attitude like the Pharisee. Put your emphasis on Christ and your trust in Christ and not in yourself. And in Colossians chapter 2, there was a similar example. One last time, the Colossians chapter 2. In verse 18, it says, "Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and in the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflating without cause by his fleshly mind." There was a heresy going on in this time period with the Colossians. And that heresy was focused completely on the heretic. And you can see here that it's all about themselves. It's all about the visions that they can see. And in so, it's inflating them, not standing firm in Christ. So again, I'd like to ask you to examine yourselves tonight. And I want you to remind you what our mission is one more time. "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." Have you forgotten what God has done for you? Remember and resubmit your life to him. Are you living to be seen by others? Are you here right now just to be seen by others? Reflect and have the humility of the tax collector who realized that he was unwilling to receive the blessings that Christ has given us. Reestablish your faith and keep rooted in Christ. We are reminded in verse 15 that Jesus has already made a public display and triumphed over him, referring to the devil, referring to evil. He's already won the battle. All we need to do is choose a side. Can we help anybody tonight? If we can help someone tonight, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.